So if you would, as you're able, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. This is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray. Lord, this is your word. It is our anchor in the storm. It is the solid rock upon which we stand. When everything else is changing, it does not. Lord, it is the word of life and light. We pray that you would work through your word and through your spirit to change us from the inside out. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. That harp is complicated, y'all. I was watching her play. I didn't even know harps have switches. She was like hitting. Anyway, I just had to say it. I was mesmerized. It was amazing. Really thankful to have Burgundy leading us in worship like that. Okay, now here's something that a lot of people don't do anymore. Now, I say a lot of people, and I'm basing this, I'm making an assumption here, but a lot of people don't play board games anymore. Now, you might say, well, my family plays board games. It's like, okay, thank you for your anecdotal evidence, but the reason that I know that not a lot of people play board games anymore is because you don't see the commercials anymore, right? The commercials were so ubiquitous at a time in our lives. I guess before the internet, before social media, there were commercials for games all the time. And all the commercials ended the same way. All the commercials for board games ended the exact same way. Some child would say, I win, right? Go for it. Connect four. And then the kid will go, I win, right? Or you can be a winner in the game of life. And the kid says, I win, right? That's how it goes. And that's good marketing, right? It's like, if you play this game, you're going to win. many a sibling battle has begun because someone did not get to say, I win. And they felt like they were cheated. I say all that because there was this game that we didn't own in my family. Not for, I don't know why, we owned a lot of board games, and I mean a lot of them. But we did not own the game of life. But I was always mesmerized by it. The board of a board game is very interesting. Obviously, number one on the list is Mousetrap. Mousetrap, number one. But life is up there. I don't know if you remember the board game of life, but it's very, the course that you follow is very twisty and turny, like life. It had a lot of things on it that were interesting, and maybe you have a dusty old copy of Life that you can break out later on and play. But I tell you that, I try to remind you of the game of life, because in the end, if you play the game of life, what you will find is the person who wins is the person who ends up with the most money, right? They put a dollar figure. You can either retire at the end of the game of life in country estates or in Millionaire Row or whatever it's called, right? But in the end, they put a dollar figure on everything that happens in your life, and whoever has the most money wins. And that idea that life is assets, right, is not foreign to the scriptures. In fact, not to bore you with the Greek, but there are two words for life in the Bible. There are two words for life. Now, you're going to recognize them when I say them, even though they're not in English. One of them is bios. It's where we get the term biology or autobiography. Bios, that means life. And then there's zoe, or like zoology, right? A class that many of you probably didn't do well in, if you're like me. Anyway, those are the two words for life, and it's interesting how those two words are used in the scripture. Because in our passage, I just really want to focus on verse 4. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, it's interesting because the word that's used here The word for life that you used here is zoe, zoe. But first, what is bios? Well, bios in the Greek is the kind of life that you get in the game of life. It is, they could call it the game of bios. In fact, there are many instances of this in the scriptures where they use bios as life. For instance, when the older brother gives what he thinks is a scathing rebuke to his father because he welcomed back the prodigal son, he says, "But when this son of yours who devoured your property," that word, property, is bios. "When this son of yours devoured your life," right? There you go. Bios, the collection of assets, right? But that's not what John tells us about Jesus. It says in verse 4, "In him was life." It was the zoe life. In fact, Luke 12:15 speaks about that different kind of life. "And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life, zoe, does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Now, when we talk about the fact that in Jesus was life, I just want to ask you a question. Don't you think it's really easy to confuse those two things? Like, especially like right now, like life is just the amount of possessions, the liquid assets that we're able to collect versus what real life is, the kind of life that Jesus offers us. You know, I have two sons and they get toys. They've collected toys. We have a room that is an absolute tragedy. It is a shrine to capitalism and their grandparents, I guess. But if you went into that room, you would be aghast and tell me that I'm a bad parent. And you'd say lots of things about us. But you would see strewn about this room all these toys. And some of those toys, at one point in my boy's life, in one of our boys' lives, some of the toys that sit there and collect dust and have not been played with in years, they would have said, "That is my prized possession. That is the thing that they cared about the most in the world, the thing that if you lost it on the trip or, you know, we have to get another one, we have to find it, we have to get it back, it was my prize." And now it just sits, discarded, ready to be given to some child who will play with it. It's probably what needs to happen. You see, the bios life fades. It loses its life. But the kind of life that John is talking about, the kind of life that is in Christ, in the living Word, is that zoe life. And look, I don't have to tell you this. It's Christmas time. You've seen all the Hallmark movies. You know how it goes, right? The rich man who owns the bookstore or owns whatever, you know, the Ebenezer Scrooge who has all the bios that he can get. But what is he missing, right? He's missing that zoe. There's something that he doesn't have or she doesn't have in the Hallmark story, right? And she needs it. And this is the kind of life, that deeper life, that eternal life that is in Jesus Christ. Quickly, it says about this life, one, it's in him. Jesus references this directly in John 11:25, before he raises Lazarus. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This is in response to Thomas's question. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I love this quote from John MacArthur. It says this: "Everything in creation receives its life from somewhere else. Everything in creation receives its life from somewhere else. From him. But he derives his life from within himself. He depends on nothing." What does John mean John the Apostle, when he writes, in him was the life. Jesus can give life because he has life. You see, you can't give what you don't have. You can't give someone something you don't own. You have to own it first. And in him was the life. Secondly, the life was the light of men. The second half of verse 4. There is no other source of life and light outside of Christ. Emil Brunner puts it like this. There is no such thing as a godless person because he is too near to every one of us. No one has any life that they did not derive from Jesus Christ. The life and the light, when John writes, the life was the light of men, you could also translate it, the life was for all kinds of men. And that rings true about Jesus Christ. Think about some of the people who were drawn to Christ. The wealthy wise men, the poor shepherds, the Roman centurion, the thief on the cross, a despised tax collector, an outcast demoniac, and also a curious and well-thought-of Pharisee. All of these people were drawn to Christ because the life and light of Christ crosses boundaries like nothing else. Lastly, in verse 5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What does John mean when he writes that? Well, first, he says that everyone is groping in the dark without the light. I've been spelunking before. That's when you go in a cave. Didn't enjoy it. Just going to tell you right now. Not my favorite. I wasn't claustrophobic before I did that. After I did it, claustrophobia became a thing for a while. But when you go down into the cave, one of the things that you obviously do is you have everybody. I was a camp counselor at the time. We took a bunch of people in. One of the things you obviously got to do is you got to have everyone turn off their light at some point. And you turn off your light, and everyone turns off their light, and then it's just so dark that you can't see. I mean, you can just do your hand like this, and you can't see it at all. You can't see anything. And this is what John tells us we're like outside of Christ. Everyone, right? Everyone, that we are groping in the dark and we cannot see. But the wonder of wonders, the wonder of Christmas, is that God, in his life and light, moves toward us in the darkness. We didn't find a way out of the cave. He goes into the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. Shines in the darkness. It comes to us in our darkness. And it lights our path. And the light is not overcome by the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. It's evening worship. It's a Sunday night. I don't know. You could be here to see one of your children or grandchildren or a friend or a relative sing in the choir or perform with an instrument. Or there could be a lot of reasons to be here, but I just want to take this brief moment and remind you that the darkness does not overcome the light. And I don't know where you came from, what your week or month or year has been like, but for some of you, it's been very dark. I have a pretty good guess that at least a couple of us in here have had a very dark year. And more than anything, we need to be reminded, those who are in dark, is that, you know, when it's very, very dark, even a tiny light can be seen. But the kind of light that Jesus is bringing is not a tiny light. It overpowers and overcomes the darkness. And it can overpower and overcome your darkness. Let me pray for us. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word because your word is truth. We pray that you would sanctify us in it. We ask that you would shine a great light in our lives through your Spirit and through your word, just as you shined a great light in sending your Son, Jesus Christ, the living word. Lord, we need that life. We need that life that only He can give. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.